This is the Jason Greger Show Archives and Podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. It's your choice, and the choice is good. Interest savings of $5,000 to $15,000 right now, and Lakewood Chev will give you the best customer experience. Go to Google Reviews or DealerRater.com, and you'll see that Lakewood is number one. Let's get to Workout Wednesday with Jeff Woods. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to CustomFit.ca, and they can set up a program that works for you. And interesting topic today. Because it is timely, fitting, as you look outside. Thankfully, it's not too cold, but it's definitely a little bit chillier, and most of us now feel like we're bears. It's time to hibernate. Don't do as much. So I wanted to, first of all, there are some diehards, and man, I see them all the time. Good on you. But Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joins us. Hey, Jeff, for a lot of people who run or exercise in the cooler weather, what happens to the body? What do they have to look out for?
Well, Greger, as the temperature drops, and this is just things for people to be aware of. And your muscles, when they get a little bit colder, they don't generate, they get a little bit weaker. They don't generate or tolerate force as effectively. And they get tired. Your muscles get tired more quickly. So as that temperature gets colder, like at minus 10 versus, say, minus 30, that factor is more an issue. And as it gets colder and as the muscles are maybe fighting to stay warm, the chance of a strain or a tear or frostbite even, that probability goes up. So what I'm suggesting, I think, you know, like it's really good to get out and exercise in the cold weather. There's no problem there, but just understand what the physiological limitations might be. So understand that maybe the duration that you go out, if you'd like to go out and, you know, run for 60 minutes or 40 minutes because of the cold, maybe you're going to just shorten things up a little bit because it's going to be hard to force any really positive training adaptations anyway. Still get out there, but just maybe reduce the duration. Your breathing rate, that also, like the amount of oxygen you can process when it gets really cold, Greger, it reduces a little bit. We can't process as much oxygen. So again, a reduced training effect. And again, the colder it gets outside, your peripheral limbs, like your hands, your head, your feet, it's harder for those areas to stay warm. So just take all of that into account. Still go out and enjoy yourself, obviously, but just understand that you might have some limitations as a result.
Okay, so what are some of the common mistakes people are making now as they prepare for their cold weather runs?
Okay, so just getting out there, the biggest mistake a lot of people make is overdressing. Like they're looking like the Michelin man, just like way too many layers. And then especially for activities like running or cross-country skiing, where your temperature goes up really quickly because you're moving a lot of body parts, and that type of outdoor activity is pretty intense. So what happens there is that you start to sweat, and that moisture can really make it difficult to keep your body warm. So that's one of the worst things that you can do is get wet, because then your performance is kind of done. Now, for activities like, you know, walking or hiking, where the intensity is not quite as high, you could probably do well with a few more protective thermal layers and you're going to be fine. So that's what I'd recommend there.
Okay. Now, with that though, so then you're saying obviously overdressing. So what about if you, because people think overdressing then keeps them warmer. What's the thing to running? Because you don't want to underdress.
You know, that you're right. So I guess there, Greger, the best thing you could do is, like, use this formula. Dress in layers. So the first layer on your skin should probably be some sort of synthetic base layer. And the reason that this is important over something like cotton, it wicks away the moisture, and it helps to keep you dry. Now, the second layer, that should be your insulator. So potentially a fleece or something like a merino wool, which I really like, but the merino wool products are a little bit more expensive. But they breathe better, and again, a great insulator. Your third layer, that should be something that's wind and waterproof with ventilation zips. And I highly recommend that people seek out that design feature, especially where you've got like zippers underneath your arm, Greger. And even if you can purchase like your base layer, like your number one layer synthetic, and then that second insulator layer, if you can find those products with ventilation zips as well, it makes a huge difference if you can control how your body is, you know, the sweating and so on, just to keep the moisture, the sweat low. If you want to try and avoid that at all cost.
Now, does it matter for our shoes that much, footwear from summer running to winter running? Is there that significant of a difference?
Well, I'm going to just maybe put it to you this way. If you're driving your car in the wintertime and you try to use your performance tires out in the winter in when it's cold out, because that compound is different, they're pretty hard, like it just gets worse and you're slipping all over the place. So it really does make a difference if you can kind of put on the right shoes to run in the wintertime. So you can get like what it's a, like a running bra, and it's got little spikes on the bottom of this bra that fits over top of your shoes. And they sell for about $30 to $75, Gregor. And they're great on the snow and ice. The only thing I don't like about them is if you're going across like a cement sidewalk or something, they can be a little bit slippery on that. The other thing you could do is buy like a trail running shoe, because the tread pattern is a little bit deeper and they have more protruding points on the bottom of the sole. And the rubber compound is a bit softer as well, and it does really well in cool weather. So I would recommend that. Maybe just buy a half size larger so you can accommodate a thermal sock of some sort. So it does make a difference. The other thing I would just recommend for some of the listeners that might be more sedentary, and maybe they're not really big on a lot of activity outside in the wintertime, but even just doing tasks around your house, you know, like negotiating icy walkways, for example, just make some observations when you're going to take the garbage out or go hang up the Christmas tree lights or whatever. Just make sure that your surfaces are clear. And if they are kind of icy, again, maybe just you can adapt like a special like method of walking. We call it the penguin walk. And all you do with that is just that you're going to try and turn your feet out a little bit, externally rotate your feet, and you're going to take a wider stance. And your walking gait, you're going to sort of adapt a shuffle, Gregor, where you're not really lifting your feet as high, and you're going to try and stay in contact with the ground a little bit more so. So that helps to reduce the risk of fall and maybe just give people a little bit more friction if they have to negotiate that, negotiate the ice.
Okay, now what about myths running outdoors? Is there real damage to the lungs goes on there?
No, that's a really good question. And I get this so much when the wintertime rolls around. So even if it was minus 20 outside, Gregor, and you were breathing that air in, by the time it hits the back of your throat, that air has already been warmed up to about plus 15 degrees Celsius. So it would be really difficult to do any lung damage. Now, with that said, if you're going to go outside and exercise and you already have like a pre-existing heart or lung problem, going outside to exercise in cold weather might not be appropriate. The other thing I was going to say that as it relates to cold weather, like quite frankly, as long as you're dressed appropriately, you can go out and pretty much take on anything. Your body does a really good job, as long as you're dressed properly, at regulating your body temperature of 98 degrees Fahrenheit or 37 degrees Celsius. Like, you're going to be fine. Now, again, if you're out in really high wind chill, there can be some problems with that. The wind chill doesn't change the ambient temperature, but it does affect how things retain heat. So our body's no different. So if you're out there and you've got a really heavy wind, it's going to affect how your body can retain heat. So, and frostbite could happen at a much faster rate if you're out exercising in a really brisk wind. So people should be aware of that.
Okay. Jeffrey, appreciate it, buddy. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks, Gregor. Take care.